welcome back to Dirty Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, happy Hanukkah to you. You famously are the Hanukkah Grinch. You said a year or two ago that no Jewish people give their kids presents. Those were your exact words.
No, that's not exactly what I said,
that's not what you meant, but those are your exact words. There's many witnesses. Yeah. It's literally on tape if someone wants to go find it.
Yeah, so my wife was you know, we live in a suburb which is sort of very spoiled.
Yeah, you move to like a fancy upper-class neighborhood, and you're going to suffer for the rest of your life, and your kids are going to be spoiled brats.
Yeah, so that's why we send our kids, or we are intending to send our kids to a school in another town, which is a bit, you know, relatively more modest.
Am I allowed to say that the principal was my least favorite teacher in my, 16 years of... grade through college.
I don't think he's a podcast listener.
No. I would say that would be a universal opinion of everyone who was in his class. Also, it's just funny. Right. To be
but there. Our yeah. second, but our second son, Kobe, who's four today. Happy birthday, Kobe! Mm-hmm. He this year, because he's too small, we thought, to ride the bus to the other town, is going to the local school. And my wife was doing carpool yesterday, and he's in a carpool with a bunch of middle schoolers. My 4-year old, for some reason. Mm-hmm. And she was telling me about the conversation that they were having about their Hanukkah gifts. And she was like, oh, my God, this is why I hate Englewood. This is why I hate
this
school.
It's mostly Fortnite talk with the middle schoolers. Mostly.
So, yeah, I told you a few weeks ago where one of them was complaining that he was only allowed to play 3 hours of Fortnite a week.
Oh, yeah.
Which is insane. But I know they were talking about, like, you know, for Hanukkah, they got an iPhone and they got a this and they got a that. And mm-hmm. And this is like on day one. And it's ridiculous.
And they're getting
my kids get nothing. My kids get a piece of Hanukkah gelt every night and a dreidel, and they're happy with it. So.
They get a dreidel every night?
I mean, dreidels are cost 4 cents.
No, so. But I'm saying, like, who needs 8 dreidels? It's just the opposite. Why would I want?
Some of them light up. Some of them play sounds.
I'm going to go the other way. I haven't seen a dreidel yet on Hanukkah.
Well, you're the one who's withholding from your children.
My kids don't want dreidels. They want presents, and they want to play with their presents. They don't want to freaking play with a dreidel. It's not the 1400s. My wife also spoils our kids. We don't have to live in a super fancy neighborhood for our kids to be spoiled. So they each get 8 presents.
But all 8 aren't like, you know, like an Xbox.
Yeah, the number 1 is really big, and then like, you know, maybe 8 will be okay. Like, yeah, no, they're not all Xbox. Like, there's one main one. So my son, my 4-year-old son, he got his, like, main toy on the first night, and he was excited about it. But then I took him out on the town yesterday, and I said, like, hey, like, what else do you want for Hanukkah? Not that I have any say in what we get. I'm sure the Britons already bought. I was just making conversation with a 4-year-old. And he said, like, he wants paper. And I said, what do you mean? He's like, well, you know, Abba, I come into your office, like, 20 times a day to take a piece of paper from the printer so I could color or do projects or whatever, cut it up and staple it, you know, whatever. So I want my own paper. So
that's brilliant.
Unbeknownst to me, my wife, like, he had already told this to my wife because she actually, like, speaks to the kids often. And she, with the store she went to get, like, the real presents, they sold, like, printer paper. And she had them wrap all the presents, like his toy microwave and all these things. So she had them wrap the paper. So yeah. She said, like, they thought she was insane. But then last night he unwrapped his paper, his present, and it was paper. And he was much happier than, like, any $100 present could, you know.
So why are you wasting money on the fancy presents?
Because she's a sucker. Like, the kids get whatever they want. You want a phone, you want this. Like, if it was up to me, they'd get one present. Kids have to be told no. Kids, especially boys, like, who are never told no, like, good luck with them later on. Please.
Yeah, I'm actually lucky. I actually was asking Jen about this when she was complaining to me about the spoiled brats on carpool. You know, because I don't know how many non-Orthodox American Jews don't give their kids Hanukkah presents, but the number's got to be in the single digits. So the fact that I happen to marry one is just my good fortune.
Yeah, but you guys are also, like, a little more blue-collarish for people who, you know, not that you didn't
and
grow
Jen
up with
also,
privilege.
By the way, Jen's birthday, Jen was born on Hanukkah, so she got screwed double.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, also, so then my wife, do you and your wife get each other Hanukkah presents?
No, of course not.
Right, so we never have. My wife and I don't even get each other birthday presents anymore. And
yeah,
then,
but also you have to explain to people, like, Hanukkah is not Christmas.
It's not Christmas.
Like, no adult gets
Rob was saying, yeah, Rob was saying that the Christmas present from you know, boyfriend to girlfriend or spouse is bigger than birthday. Yeah. Which even the biggest Hanukkah maniac on the planet would not posit that is true. So First night, the kids all get stuff. There's like a bag of 20 things. Because they don't just get one thing. Like, my son got the paper. You'd think, oh, that's a funny gift. She felt bad about just giving him the paper, even though it was the only thing he wanted. So
that's what he wanted.
He also got a shirt.
This woman.
Yeah, I agree. She's insane.
Yeah, for the first time ever, I'm on Team Akiva over Team Mara.
They're very spoiled. And it's funny because she grew up much more like you and your wife. Like, I grew up in a neighborhood exactly like where you were raising your kids, mistakenly. She didn't grow up like that. She didn't grow up with a lot of money. And she wasn't spoiled with that, but like she never heard the word no, and she thinks the kids are never allowed to hear the word no. So anyway, my kids get the present.
She never heard the word no. I guess she didn't know how to say it either, which is how she ended up getting married.
Yeah,
100%.
So then she heard a lot of people say, no, do not do that. Why are you marrying this 20-year-old?
I told my sister, by the way, I said, whatever you do, I said, I don't care who you marry, but do not marry the first guy that you date. And my sister also did that. So
sure. I know a lot of people who grew up like us who married the first person they date a ton. So,
but who didn't even like, you know, have a break and date anyone else in the interim? They just went straight.
100%. We have a lot of we know a lot of people who are married to the first person they dated. So
yeah, I'm saying it's a big mistake.
So I will do it better than the next
time.
It's
not too
late. So I wasn't the first person I dated, but I was the first person definitely that Mary dated. So she gives out the presents to the kids.
Look at this player subtly.
No, not really. She gives it the presents. And then she turns and is like, here, Akiva, and I unwrap stuff, and it's like a bunch of foods I like Fruity Pebbles and Twizzlers. She got like a bunch of food things. She got me a gift.
For you.
I was not, so now I'm completely stunned. Like, I didn't even consider getting her a gift, because this is our 15th or 16th Hanukkah together, and we haven't, maybe when we were like dating, we gave each other presents, but like, it's been a decade since I've gotten a Hanukkah present from anybody. My grandfather sends a check. But he doesn't even tell me. Like, he just deposits it in a Citibank account for me. That's it. So now what do I do? So the next day, I went to, you know, it's donut season because it's Hanukkah time. I went to the mall, and I picked out, like, all the fancy donuts. There was no prices.
And you got to explain that in America, whereas latkes are, like, the dominant Hanukkah food, in Israel, it's donuts by
correct.
A massive
correct.
Margin.
Correct. Yeah. In America, there it's becoming slightly more popular, but there's only a couple stores where you could really get this.
Let's put it this way. I've lived in Israel for several years, like over Hanukkah, and I didn't know the word for latke, which is levivot, until this year. When my kid came home talking about it.
People do make it at home. And our neighbors, if you have like a neighbor of like Moroccan or whatever origin, they make these Moroccan donuts called sfinj that are amazing. They're just like these fried donuts that are a little different. That are better. So the donuts here are worse. The donuts in America are better, but
Wait, you'd rather have an American souvganiyah than
not the jelly donuts, but a glazed donut is going to be better in America than in any other country.
Yeah, but that's not the kind of. But that's not like a
Hanukkah. No, donut. It's not. It's glazed, and the fancy ones have taken over the last decade, like the super elaborate, you know, eight things going, and it's like an art project. So I just put a bunch of them. I took my son out and he was just putting them in the box, and I didn't look at the price, and then I paid for them, and like my glasses fell off my face how much money I spent on these donuts. So now she spent like $10 on like getting me some Fruity Pebbles and Twizzlers and snacks, and I spent like just obscene amount of money getting her donuts. And then I take them home, and my son starts crying, like, no, you can't give them to her now, because this is like 11 a.m. so you have to wait until we light candles, which is like 7 hours. So I'm like, well, the donuts are gonna get hard. And he's hysterical. My wife's like, I don't want them now. Stop. Like, listen to him. Because, of course, the kids are always right. I'm wrong. And then, like, he runs. He gives her the box at 6 p.m. The donuts are not fresh anymore. And he gets all the credit. And now, like, I spent, like, a zillion dollars and didn't even get her a present. And
so this is, like, a big salad situation.
It is. It's a big salad situation. And, like, and also her birthday is soon. Like, mine just was. So she's probably just playing the long game, like, well, now that I got him this, like, I have to guilt him getting a birthday present. And I don't know, what do you normally get your wife for her birthday? Do you get her jewelry?
Yeah, I just bought my wife her birthday present last night, actually.
Do you know, like, have you ever bought your wife jewelry?
Yeah.
I don't know, like, I would happily buy jewelry.
Well,
what
else do you buy, wife?
How do you know what to buy, though? How do you know what jewelry is good?
Well, you know, traditionally, Akiva, when someone's in a relationship with someone for many years, they listen and they learn.
Right. Now, I have been together with
but
her
also,
since
But also, like, the obvious move as a guy is you give a gift and you say, like, you know, if you don't like it, return it, exchange it, and my feelings won't be hurt at all.
Sure.
Which is true. They won't be.
Well, I have the problem.
Well, one year I did give my wife a gift which backfired spectacularly. She hated it, and in hindsight, it was incredibly dumb, and I'm not even going to say what it was because it was so stupid that I thought that she would like it, but...
I don't understand, but how do you know, like, what jewelry she would like? I don't understand, like...
I'm just saying, from experience, I've been dating her since 2004.
If I was dating my wife for 500 years, I wouldn't know, like, what earrings she likes. I don't understand, maybe there's a chip missing in my brain, but, like, this seems like an impossible problem to me. I don't know. And, like, in theory, if she's the type of person to have, like, friends who knew, but I don't know. I just would want to, like, I tell my wife what I want. I'm like, hey, this is what I want. You could get it if you'd like. But that wouldn't work with her. It wouldn't count if she just told me what to get her and I bought it.
Yeah, you get no credit then.
All right, speaking of gifts, the Mets were gifted Robinson Cano and an elite closer. Not really gifted because they gave up their firstborn son, Jared Kelenic, for it. In addition to their...
So you like the trade, then?
Not really. Listen, let's
Tony Kornheiser loves it for the Mets, so...
Yeah, I'm very concerned. Tony Kornheiser, he's an expert on the Mets farm system, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Listen,
I'm... He's like, what's not to love? An all-star closer? A possible Hall of Famer? Who'd they give up? Nobody I heard of!
Listen, Kelenic would have to be really, really good for this trade to totally backfire. It just didn't seem like, if you're getting a star, I understand that. They treated Cano like he was an asset when the Mariners were just going to dump him for nothing. The Mariners dumped Gene Segura for nothing, and he's younger.
Gene Segura trade to me is much worse for the Mariners than this.
But
one.
I don't. So
this trade I like from the Mariners' perspective. I mean, if you're a Mets fan, you have to make the playoffs this year, right?
They stunk last year. How could they make the playoffs? Because they have a good closer.
Well,
now? Okay,
but hold on a second. Last year, you and Rob were both definitely going to the over on whatever that number was, and you thought they were going to make the playoffs. I thought you guys were nuts. But the truth is, the team has great pitching. You know, if you have a healthy DeGrom, a healthy Syndergaard, all you need to do is increase. You know, obviously you have a better closer now, or you know, a deeper bullpen. All you need to do is increase your offense a little bit.
I mean, but they don't spend money, so I don't see how they're going to do that. They're talking about trading seriously.
I think the Mets should be a team that's winning 85 games next year.
Yeah, that
and
doesn't
if you win
85
games, you're in the wild card race.
I mean, look at the Nationals. The Nationals are better. The Phillies are better. The Braves are better. Congratulations on being better than the Marlins.
Yeah.
Listen, they do have a ceiling that's higher now, but they need to add another hitter, and I don't see it happening. Alonso, Cano, Rosario, McNeil, Conforto, Nemo, and Cespedes injured. Like, that's exciting. I don't know if that's exciting.
When is Cespedes back?
It's going to be a while. Definitely a month, but I think even longer.
A month into the season?
I think longer than that. The Met month is famously 2 years.
Yes. Yes.
So that's basically what's going on. You didn't have any. You didn't. You don't watch any college football? Do you not even watch, like, the college football playoff?
No, I watch college football.
It was so clear to me that Georgia's better than Oklahoma and Ohio State.
Well, first, okay, I don't think anybody's disputing that Georgia's the only team.
So my point is, like, I have been asking, and
you're not choosing the best teams; you're choosing the best seasons.
I emailed Robbie, newly married Robbie, who's a big college football fan, like a month ago, and said, "What happens if Georgia beats Alabama, and then everyone else has one loss?" And Robbie thought they were going to leave Alabama out, which is definitely wrong.
No, there's no chance.
They would not have left Alabama out. They would have left Oklahoma out. Nobody would have had a problem. Oklahoma's not that good. Like, Oklahoma should have left West Virginia.
I mean, their offense is good.
Their offense is good, but they're not like a team that anybody could really be upset is not in the Final Four.
Yeah, but I mean, it'll be exciting to watch like a 60-45.
I think the truth is, like, if Oklahoma has a chance to beat Alabama, I'd say Oklahoma's a much better chance to beat Alabama than Notre Dame does to beat Clemson. Because Oklahoma's going to score points. If Alabama has a game like they did against Georgia where they just don't score for a half, they're not going to be able to catch up like they did against Georgia.
So you think Oklahoma has a better chance at the upset?
Yeah, 100%. Oklahoma's a better chance at the upset than. I'm not saying they're going to pull it, but I think Notre Dame has no chance against Clemson. Pitt's coach played both teams.
Has Alabama had a game other than Georgia within 20 points all year?
I mean, they were tied to a D2 team like the week before at halftime. They might have a little bit of like the 07 Patriots where it's like they sort of peaked early and now they're sort of one. They only play that one close game. Like, they don't have a lot of close game experience. Their quarterback looked awful in the last game.
They don't have close game experience because they're winning every game by a million points. So they'd be a better team if they won by less.
No, but like, once you get into a close game, who knows what's going to happen? Will they tense up?
Well, they won their close game. They've won every game, close or far.
So the Pittsburgh coach who played Clemson and Notre Dame said that Clemson is like playing a different sport than Notre Dame. Let's talk about let's talk about the NFL because that's what we get paid the big bucks to do.
Yeah.
And do you ever root? When was the last time you rooted for the Vikings to lose for draft reasons? I think it's been a while.
I never have.
You never root for them to lose, even if they're going to get the number one pick.
I never root for any of my teams to lose, even when it's strategically the right decision. I mean, the all-time worst example of this was the Washington-Minnesota game in like week 14 when Adrian Peterson tore his ACL, was injured. Obviously, he came back the next year to have his insane 2,000-yard season, but he was gone for the season, looked like he'd be gone the next season, and they ended up winning that game in Washington, the consequence of which is that Washington picked one spot ahead of them, picked RG3, who looked like a franchise quarterback, and you know, the Vikings got screwed over there. You know, again, obviously, RG3 ended up, you know, having one season and then falling apart, so it didn't look as bad in hindsight, but I cannot root for any of my teams to lose. You know, the famous Mark Madsen game where Mark Madsen attempted 11 three-pointers in the second half in overtime?
Yes.
Even in that game, you know, I even though intellectually I understand it, emotionally I cannot ever root for my teams to lose. So,
I hear you. Yeah, it was weird rooting for them to lose this week because it's like still a little early and they don't need a quarterback. So ultimately, what are you doing? If Darnold is like, I really need Darnold to show me something this at the end of this year. Like, I need Darnold to have some sort of 2 minutes.
Yeah, but look, Jared Goff showed nothing in his rookie year.
Yeah.
And was great.
I know,
his
but I need some
year.
Hope. The Jets have
Mitchell
like
Trubisky
eight
showed
NFL
nothing
players
in his rookie
team.
Year and has been much better this year.
I'm not writing off Darnold if he doesn't do anything the next four games, but
yeah.
I need something.
You'd like to see him do something.
Last, and you know, today I really had one of the most devastating things that's ever happened to me happen.
Yeah, you said to me early this morning that it was the best sports day of the year,
true.
And I intentionally did not respond because I knew it was going to be some trollish comment about some dumb sport that I don't care about.
Yes, it was
going to
be a trollish comment.
About.
I mean, 100% earnest. Like, there's no, like, I was happier today for the start of the biathlon season than I was for week one of the NFL. Like, that's not a joke.
Okay, then you know what? Let's stop this podcast, and you can go find some Swede to do a biathlon podcast.
I tried starting a biathlon fantasy league.
We'll come in back to, I don't even know how many fans, how many days. I don't know how biathlon works.
I don't know.
Biathlon is the one where you ski and
shoot a gun,
right?
There would be zero fans.
Yeah.
There would be zero listeners. But the thing about biathlon is it's 3 months a year because it just is in the snow. So, like, I've been waiting 9 months for this, and now, like,
there was a Family Guy episode all about biathlon a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah, Meg is an Olympic biathloner.
Yeah, so I'm waiting 9 months, and I'm so excited. There was a relay on Sunday. I know nobody cares, but humor me for a minute. And I'm like excited. Oh, the U.S. is going to win. The first minute, the U.S. woman trips, falls, breaks her gun in the middle of the race. So it's over. I waited 9 months for you to break your gun. You feel like there'd be more accidental shootings, right?
I mean, what if there was like a road rage incident?
It would
like
be insane.
Somebody cut somebody
it would
off
be crazy. Also. I mean, that would be bananas.
Are they shooting like what kind of bullets? Are they real bullets? Are they blanks? Like, what are they shooting?
I should probably know. I mean, it doesn't matter. You could probably hurt somebody with
it. I'm sure it could injure somebody.
I mean, and also they're shooting, it's at such a small target that it's like, it's crazy how good they are. Anyway, it's like shooting, it's like free throws, but with guns. That's how I explain it. It's like a race and then you stop to shoot free throws, but the free throws are with your gun.
That sounds really exciting.
Well, if free throws were with guns, like, can you imagine, like, Damian Lillard, like, goes to the line down two,
I mean,
and he's got a friggin'
Gilbert
gun.
Gilbert Arenas.
All right.
Yeah.
So, what's the 16th best NFL game this week?
All right. Well, you already discussed it. It's the Jets at the Bills. We don't need to discuss it at all.
But let's discuss one thing. If you were a GM starting a new team right now, would you rather have Josh Allen or Sam Darnold?
I'd rather have Sam Darnold. Josh Allen, much like Trubisky, actually, has shown that he has an ability to be a dynamic runner.
Yeah. But he's
can't
exactly
hit, like,
as bad
ball.
At throwing the ball that we thought he would be.
Yeah.
We knew what he was. He did not let us off the hook. What's the 15th best NFL game this week?
All right. By the way, I'm picking Buffalo to win. I assume you are as well.
Yes. Yeah, Buffalo's a 3.5-point favorite. I think I like them at minus 3.5.
You guessed it at like 6.5 or something. All right. Another meaningless game, Detroit at Arizona. Similar situation.
Yeah, this game is awful. I think this year, some results this year have made less sense than any year from the last, like, 8-10 years.
Arizona winning in Green Bay, Buffalo winning in Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, Arizona winning, like, I know Green Bay stinks, but still, like, Arizona's not even trying.
Yeah, they were 13.5.
Which is why
the
game that we will discuss soon, I assume, Atlanta-Green Bay, is such a head-scratcher, because it's two teams that are awful not trying.
Yeah. Like, that is the next game on this list. And if somebody would have told you that in week 14, neither team would have any playoff possibility
with the
whatsoever.
Quarterbacks. Because I would have, if you told me Atlanta Green Bay is 14,
yeah,
I would
like, okay,
say
Matt Ryan
it's
and Aaron
Rodgers
crashed into each other.
I would say it's DeShone Kizer, versus Matt Schaub. That would have made sense.
Matt Schaub's still in the NFL. That's incredible.
Listen, these backup QBs, you got to fail out of the league unless you just don't kneel up for the national anthem. Like,
I tweeted about, I don't even remember who it is. Which backup is it? Josh Johnson, I think.
Yeah, Josh Johnson.
He's played for 12 NFL teams. He's attempted a pass for one of them.
One team. No, 12 pro teams, not even NFL teams, I think.
No, it's 12 NFL teams, I thought.
Oh, really? Because he was also on like the Edmonton Eskimos.
Yeah, and then he's also been on a couple teams in other leagues. Yeah, he's been on like 14.
He was literally the first draft
I'm sure he's thrown passes for all those guys. Yeah. Yeah. Taken above Hackenberg.
Like, they probably have to buy him out.
Hackenberg was like the last pick in that draft, even in the AAFL, AAFC, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Not great. he was taken in a later round in that draft than he was by the Jets.
They wouldn't let Hackenberg in the AYFFL.
Right,
so I have
Who are you picking Detroit at Arizona? This is an interesting one.
Arizona.
You know, Arizona, I was going to pick them, but you know, they famously have no home field advantage and it's in a dome. But
you don't think all the excited Lions fans are going to come to Arizona for this game?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, Arizona just won in Detroit, and I don't know if
Detroit fans are, and they've been like this for decades, but like, if you're a Detroit fan, you have a quarterback in your prime and you still somehow have a hopeless team, there's no way to solve this.
Yeah, but there's not a single person in the state of Michigan who cares about the NFL more than college football. So,
well, I got bad news for them. Michigan's not good either. Michigan State's not good.
Well, but it's a great celebration, actually, for Michigan now, you know, that their arch nemesis is gone from
Ohio
State.
Right. So. I mean, it will be exciting to lose to Ryan Day instead of losing their player. It's a totally new thing.
Yeah. By the way, my son, my four-year-old, so I mentioned to him today that Bubby, his grandmother, you know, Jen's mom from Michigan, is flying into New Jersey today to see him for his birthday. And so he said, is Zadie coming also? And I said, no, he's not. And he said, oh, I know why. And I said, why? He says, because Zadie is sad that Michigan, he's too sad to fly because Michigan lost.
Does he care that much that he like would be like?
Does Zadie care that much?
Later? No, right?
I mean, Zadie's pretty depressed. I don't know if he would like not show up to his son's birthday.
Well, I would say like Robbie would miss work, probably missed work after that, after they lost to Ohio State.
Yeah. I was shocked, actually, that both Robbie and my father-in-law, I heard from both of them the night of the loss. I thought
it was
they'd
a year,
both sort of disappear.
Either last year or 2 years ago, Robbie like fell off the planet, you said, for like a week. But they're so used to it at this point, they've become beaten down like a Jets fan or a Lions fan who just doesn't even expect to lose, but knows they're going to lose.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but that's what, like, the same thing with Detroit and with their state mate, the Michigan Wolverines. Like, you lose like a three-point game, it's like, all right, we'll get them next year, even though it sucks because we never win. They're just inherently broken. Like, if the other teams are better, more athletic in Michigan's case, or just have more talent. Like, Detroit had good receivers this year, and they have a running back who's competent. Like, there's just something like so flawed in whatever they're doing. And I said Ebron would be good on the Colts this year, and you said no. And Ebron's been incredible. And like, there's just one thing I've really come around to with having maybe the worst coach the Jets have had since I was a little kid with Kotite. Is like Belichick makes guys get better. Like nobody, you know, a lot of teams cut Chris Hogan and then he came and they sort of taught him how to be good. And Gronk and Hernandez, those guys weren't picked in the first or the second round. They coached them up a little bit. And the bad teams, the players don't get better on them. And I think that's what's happening, even though it's a new coach now. They went from Caldwell to Patricia. It's still like the same idea where people are just not improving there, especially on defense in Detroit. That, you know, you look at like who your coaches are hiring as like a, you know, their position coaches and their coordinators, like, are these guys who if you fired them tomorrow would be snapped up? And if the answer is no, like, you have bottom level coaches. Anyway, so I have Arizona winning and Green Bay winning.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right. Cincinnati at the Chargers. Cincinnati officially done. The Chargers, you know, it's not impossible that they, you know, they keep winning. They're only a game behind Kansas City. And if Kansas City trips up at any point, you know, we've sort of locked Kansas City into the one seed in the AFC. But it's not impossible that, you know, the Chargers could catch them and win this division.
Cincinnati's not trying. I do think this is ultimately it for Marvin Lewis. Very sad. Do you think Marvin Lewis...
We've said that so many times before.
They're just not trying anymore. Do you think Marvin Lewis gets an interview for another job?
I mean, who knows? Because there's this buddy-buddy system, right?
Yeah, and then also if you have to interview a black candidate,
what about this?
African American candidate than most of them out there. Yeah.
Oh, so you're saying he's getting interviews?
Like at least a Rooney Rule interview. I'm wondering.
Well, what about this? Hugh Jackson becomes new coach of Cincinnati, which we've actually heard is a possibility.
Be insane, and he hires Marvin Lewis.
And then he hires Marvin Lewis. Exactly.
By the way, I you joke. I would totally be fine with the Jets making Bowles their defensive coordinator, like demoting him.
Yeah.
I mean, the Cowboys did it, not directly, but Dave Campo, like, was their coach and then came back a couple years later as a position coach, which was probably a sign he was overpromoted as coach. But, like, listen, swallow your pride. Like, Todd Bowles, you're never going to get a job making as much as you would as the Jets defensive coordinator, which would be head coach salary to be their DC. Like, you should just do it.
All right, so Chargers, you know, Chargers at KC will be, you know, probably the game of the week next week, week 15. But this week, they get an easy tune-up against Cincinnati. All right, Denver at San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Denver's been on a crazy little run lately.
Yeah, Mullins fell back to earth. It is Denver. I don't think there's much to talk about. You don't think Denver has a chance to win out and make the playoffs, right?
I think they do. I mean, it's between them and Baltimore for the sixth seed. I guess Tennessee is the
conversation. No, I like Tennessee better. I like Miami better. I like Indianapolis better.
Miami is so bad. I don't know what
they're
you're
not.
Saying.
Oh, so you posted your quarterback rankings, and I've always been higher on Tannehill than most other people. And
he's been like perfectly average this year.
Yeah,
by
he's a league average
plus.
Quarterback. Like you, if you're the Dolphins, you want to move on from Tannehill this year, and you're not going to have a great draft pick unless you basically go 1-3 or 0-4.
Yeah, but he's
who are they improving?
Who can't stay
like,
healthy,
yes, they could get
some.
They could get a Mahomes like prospect. You could try and snag somebody who's probably not going to start year one. Is there who are they going to get that's better than Tannehill to start opening day 2019? I don't think Winston's going to be available. Like who are the Dolphins improving on Ryan Tannehill between now and September? I don't think they are.
Yeah. No idea.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Denver for a second. So you think they have no chance of making the playoffs. So are they going to win this week against San Francisco?
Yes.
Okay, 7-6. They come home and face Cleveland.
That's a coin toss game to me. Cleveland's a little better than them, but they're at home.
All right, 8-6. Then they play Oakland, worst team in the NFL. Because guess what? Denver's 9-6. You think they don't have a chance at the playoffs?
And then who are they playing week?
And then they're hosting the Chargers in week 17, and that could be a game where the Chargers are locked into the 5 seed.
Yeah.
Denver could win out.
It's not impossible. Wow, that Broncos-Raiders game.
And by the way, you only need 9 wins, I think, so they could even lose one of those and still make
it. That Broncos-Raiders game is the last Monday Night Football game of the year. Because they've had the night games this year have been much better than the last few years. They have not gotten unlucky. Yeah. They got a little bit hit with the Garoppolo injury, but they were able to get out of the Sunday night versions of those games. That's an unwatchable game if Denver doesn't win their next two. So ESPN is praying for Denver these next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's unwatchable anyway because Oakland is...
No, listen, if you have one team that's...
Did you see John Gruden's excuse, by the way, for why he threw a flag, A, on a scoring play, and B, in the last 2 minutes? So it was doubly a play that you cannot challenge because it's automatically reviewed. Did you hear about this?
No.
So he threw a flag on a scoring play in the last 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. I did see that. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And then he claims the next day that he did it on purpose because he wanted to make a point to Jerry DePoto. I mean, it's a good thing for Raiders fans in Las Vegas that he's only got nine more years.
The Denver-Cleveland game is the Saturday night game next week? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, the Saturday games are coming, which is good. All right, so let's keep moving until we get a decent game this week. We're still not there. New England at Miami. You seem to think Miami is better than the worst garbage team.
What's the line again? 7.5?
New England in Miami, yeah. By the way, this was so somebody said how a few people have said, actually, in the Facebook group, that Bill Simmons cheats when he guesses the line.
What a wild accusation.
And, yeah. The only game that he was off on by more than like 1 point this week was New England at Miami, where he does his classic, you know, what was me? Oh, the Patriots aren't that good thing. Every week, he guesses the Patriots like 3 less points than they get.
So interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, New England sucks. Excuse me, Miami sucks. New England's going to win easily. Do you disagree?
No. Miami covers. New England wins.
Okay. All right. Pittsburgh at Oakland. You know, again, Oakland's the worst team in the league. Pittsburgh, Jalen Samuels, now third string running back playing this week. A lot of fantasy implications as the fantasy playoffs begin.
Yeah, so Pittsburgh really threw the, you know, with the Connor injury, threw like the fantasy world into chaos today because...
Yeah, especially on Yahoo, where Jalen Samuels is a tight end.
He's running back tight end eligible. I haven't really looked into why. Was he like on the depth chart? Is it an error? Do you know why?
Yeah, no, I mean, it did make sense at the time. The question, it's sort of like Ty Montgomery. The question is, do you switch the guy at a certain point?
I don't
point
think you can lose. I think
positions.
The rule generally in all fantasy leagues is you can't you lose only positional add, you access. Lose. You can only add during the year. Obviously, next year he wouldn't be... Yeah. T eligible. I don't know why he is on Yahoo and why he isn't on ESPN. I guess they use like different sources or whatever. Yeah, we even said, like, we know we screwed up. It's a mistake, like, but we can't change it. And I didn't realize he was tight end eligible. So my opponent this week, who had Austin Hooper, I would have bought him even if I couldn't play Samuels, just for my playoff opponent not to have him. This is why fantasy...
My opponent also in AYFFL has Jalen Samuels this week.
This is why fantasy's stupid.
One of my opponents. I have three opponents this week, the way we do things. All right, so Pittsburgh's going to win in Oakland, regardless of no James Conner, right?
Yeah, Pittsburgh's going to win in Oakland. Although, if I put a gun in my head, I'd say Samuels doesn't have a big fantasy game.
Yeah, no, Pittsburgh famously never splits the, they give every single, play basically.
Yeah, but we don't know that Samuels and not Ridley. Ridley was washed up.
Yeah, it could be
Stephen
Ridley. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why people are assuming that it's going to be Samuels, but it's a risky thing to do in a playoff game to be starting a guy who's
If you have a bad tight end, it's a very low risk. It's risky to start him over Kenyon Drake.
If you're starting a tight end, anybody other than
top four guys.
Kelsey and Kittle, who's number three, so on the mm-hmm. All right, Jacksonville at Tennessee.
This is the Thursday night game. It's funny because this game is always the joke game, right? This is usually like the worst game on the calendar, the Jaguars-Titans Thursday night game, but this is actually a good game.
Yeah, but Tennessee's very much in the race, in the wild card.
Yeah, and Jacksonville is an interesting team, even though they're only 4-8.
Yeah.
I mean, Tennessee's awful. Like, Tennessee got beat up by the Jets for like 55 minutes. That should give them 8 losses. I actually like the Jaguars in this game.
All right, so you're picking Jacksonville on the road.
I mean, the Titans couldn't move the ball on the Jets. Like, they're going to move the ball on the Jaguars or just shut out Andrew Luck?
Yeah. I mean, Tennessee did go into Jacksonville earlier this year already. By the way, I mean, last week I beat you 3-2 on our games in which we disagreed. So this is our first one this week. You have Jacksonville, Tennessee.
Oh, nice. And by the way, Cody Kessler might be better than Bortles with, give him a few more weeks.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. But all right, Giants at Washington. So here's an interesting game. Washington now on their third quarterback, Sanchez.
What's the line right now? Isn't it Washington by, 1.5?
Washington was favored at 1.5 going in, but even before the Monday night game, which was crazy to me, I thought.
So what's the line
But then
now?
Colt McCoy went down. So that line had to have moved.
Like, to me, the Giants have to be favored.
I mean, it's a 4-8 team.
It doesn't matter. It's a team with a competent player. Yeah, Washington. Oh, I see. I'm right. The Giants have moved to 3.5-point favorites.
Favorites. Wow.
Now you can, on pick 7, you can get... because it stays as the opener, the line, you can get the Giants at +1, which is...
I'm going to pick the Giants to win this game.
Which every single person is going to pick. How could you pick Mark Sanchez?
It's not just Mark Sanchez.
He's worse
it's a Mark
than,
Sanchez
he's
who
so
doesn't
much
know
worse
plays.
Than Mullins or Beathard. You're Mark Sanchez and you can't block for him.
He doesn't know what's going on.
I mean, their street guards are on
IR. Did you see his butt recovery on Monday night?
Yeah. Sure. I'm not a big butt fumble guy.
No, but this was great. It was whatever the opposite of a butt fumble is. I think it's a butt recovery where he landed on a fumble and recovered it that way.
Yeah, they don't do anything for me. Me, the butt stuff.
Butt stuff doesn't do it. So you're not an ass man.
No, well, not if Mark Sanchez is.
All right, Carolina at
Ironically.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
We're getting to some games with a little bit of interest here. Carolina free-falling. Down to 6-6. It's still going to come down, I think, to Carolina and the Vikings for the final wild card spot. And Carolina...
I think this is a really good game. But I I'm so nervous about if the Browns can block the Panthers in this game. It's really... the game could start and be like, oh, yeah, they can't block. Mayfield's just getting smashed all game.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Carolina. It might partially be wishful thinking on my part. But... excuse me, I'm going to pick Cleveland.
Man, it's so how Cleveland. Weird. There has to be more to that story. I didn't really look into it that they fired two position coaches yesterday. That's a weird in-season move. Like, they fired Brady Hoke, speaking of former Michigan former coaches. Michigan coaches. Like, I don't... were they just,
yeah,
not showing
up? Yeah, it is a weird thing.
Meetings?
It's you want to get the attention of a team in free fall. But, yeah, I don't understand. So this guy loses his job. Like, was he doing a bad job specifically? I've never really understood.
And, Sam Mills was the assistant, which is also weird because he's,
he's got, a relationship because he's, a historical guy with the franchise.
Yeah, he's one of their best. He's the best player in team history. It's weird that he was the assistant D-line coach. But you really do. NFL, unless your name is Greg Williamson, you really need to work your way up. Even Belichick's kid is not a position coach yet, I don't think. You really need to work your way up.
Yeah,
you're
completely
in the
wrong
for 18 hours.
NFL coaching is the most nepotistic of every single sports coaches.
It's nepotistic. No, you need
you
to start
look
at the
Scott
bottom.
Turner,
I'm telling you,
every guy's son, Schottenheimer. I mean, there's a million of these guys. Just because Belichick doesn't do it,
I think they start on the bottom. Yeah, they get a job through nepotism, but I still think they have to do their
offense coordinators. You can become an offense coordinator at a middle tier, Big Five, Big Six program easily. Any son of a famous coach.
Minnesota
would hire you tomorrow.
That's Minnesota pays their offensive coordinator like $500,000. That's a real job. They can't. They're not.
I'm not talking about the Vikings. I'm talking about the University of
Minnesota. They might get a quarterback job. Yeah, I understand. They pay their quarterback. They pay their AOs.
Have you seen? Have you seen a Minnesota college football game recently? Because their offense has got garbage.
I'm not saying they have a.
They went into Wisconsin somehow.
I'm saying that they're making a lot of money.
They beat down the Badgers. They you know.
Well, the Badgers, the Wisconsin's really bad.
Yeah, still,
this year.
Minnesota going into Wisconsin and getting a win is a big victory. They became bowl.
I don't. Well, listen, the power is shifting out west in the Big Ten. Yeah. Everyone knows that.
All right. So, are you picking Cleveland with me, or do you think Carolina turns it around?
No, I'm picking Carolina, but I am very much looking forward to that game.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting game. Cleveland's a 1-point favorite at home.
By the way, 5 4 o'clock games. I love when that happens.
We need more 4 o'clock.
We rarely get the 5 4 o'clock games. Because 8 is the max. To me, to track all the 1 o'clock games, 8 is the absolute max.
It's also, it's just...
If there's 9 1 o'clock games, there's a game that I've not seen one play of. It's in the third quarter. It's always like 10-7.
But also, after 5 o'clock, like, the red zone gets slow. When you only have 3 or 4 late games.
When there's 3 games, like, you'll occasionally have to go back to, like, Hanson or Siciliano.
Siciliano keeps
showing
punts and apologizing.
That's not fun.
For it, so.
Yeah.
All right, Indy at Houston. Yeah.
Stop apologizing.
Houston somehow has won 9 games in a row, the least impressive 9-game winning streak ever. The defense is pretty good, obviously.
With every win, people get less. Yeah. You know.
But Indy just got shut out in Jacksonville. Chances. Andrew Luck's
I almost wonder if that's like a throw out the result type of game. If it just makes
Well,
no sense.
You can't throw it out if you're Indy because basically you're you got to basically pretty much win out now to get a playoff spot.
No, but I'm saying, like, is it? I mean, I like Houston in this game, but if they couldn't block against the Jaguars, like the Texans guys right now are Watt and Merciless and Clowney are just like running roughshod through linemen.
Yeah. So I pick Houston also. But that offense looks really good. All right. New Orleans at Tampa. This is a game, obviously, in week one. Tampa went into New Orleans. Fitzmagic.
Yeah, I think you're too hyped on Tampa winning that week one game. Week one doesn't.
No, I'm not hyped
anything.
On that, it's but Tampa, you know, Tampa just beat Carolina at home this past week. Tampa doesn't have much of a defense, but their offense can score. We know that, and you know they have like 4 relevant receivers. It's Chris Godwin and Adam Humphries and DeSean Jackson. Like all these guys
keep
coming.
It is weird. How many good receivers they have?
And New Orleans.
And Braid is good too. They also like they had Howard Braid.
New Orleans,
it's
you know.
Crazy.
There was a couple games where Breece had 3 or 4 touchdown passes that sort of masked the fact that they weren't really moving the ball that much on offense.
Yeah. But there, I mean.
Look, I think New Orleans is going to go into Tampa and win, but I think
Tampa.
This is a game that's worth watching.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good game. All right. So I have New Orleans.
All right. Baltimore, Kansas City. Kansas City, obviously, you know, we didn't talk about Kareem Hunt. I don't think we have any, really wise or thoughtful. Comments to make here.
No. I mean, I did before I knew that he had 2 more things, I did think, like, oh, no, the Patriots are going to claim him. Like, I would claim him just to stop the Patriots from claiming him. But I think the owner.
By the way, Dan Snyder 100% wanted to.
Well, here's the thing. If you don't claim Reuben Foster, I think you could probably claim
Let's talk about Reuben Foster for a second.
An actual
so
asset.
Washington comes up with, like, the most idiotic explanation in the world. They send out Doug Williams. They misspell his name. He gives some. They claim that they asked the other Alabama players on their team. All the Alabama players on the team said, no one asked me. They're just caught lie after lie. And then, like, 3 days later, Bruce Allen finally comes forward and says, well, we did our own investigation, and we have a different side of the story.
Right, which doesn't even appear to be true.
Let's say, for argument's sake, that that's true. Then why didn't you say that at any point in the last 3 days when there's like this whole clusterfuck happening, which is why I think it's obviously a lie.
It's because Dan Snyder has no awareness of situations
really
like this. Like, he can't anticipate. Everyone saw the second this happened, everyone's like, oh, well, there's the backlash. But I'm sure he didn't even – this, and it sounds insane, but Dan Snyder probably didn't realize that there would be backlash to this move. He probably thought, like, well, we'll claim him. We won't even get him because, like, of course everyone's going to claim this guy. Like, it's not even worth it for Foster. At least for Kareem Hunt, you have, like, a top 5 running back who makes no money and is young. At least risk your organization's reputation for an asset.
Yeah.
Foster's never going to play. He's going to get in trouble 5 more times.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any
sense. So you think Kareem Hunt will be back in the NFL?
Yeah, I think Kareem Hunt... If the worst thing he did, which is still horrible, but if a story comes out that he did a second thing that's even worse.
But we have 3 things now.
Like if he hit another woman, fine. The fact that he got into a bar fight, I'm not losing a
ton of sleep.
And by the
way, someone pointed out, and it's quite a good point, how, you know, like all these NFL teams are such liars. When the Chiefs took Tyreek Hill, they said on draft night, we're going to look out for this guy. We're going to set him up with counseling and anger management and all these things to make sure that, you know, the kinds of things don't happen again. And then and then Kareem Hunt, who had at least one, two, or three violent incidents in, you know, in the 2018 calendar year alone, that the Chiefs knew about, even if they didn't know about the video, they knew about these various incidents. He was asked in that weird Sunday morning interview, have you undergone counseling or anything like that? And he's like, no. He's like, yeah, maybe I would do that, but no, I haven't. So, well, so then the Chiefs are liars, because if they're not doing with him, I assume they're not doing with Hill, which means they just said they were doing with Hill for, you know, PR purposes.
Well, they didn't know, like, but Hill was a known entity. Like, why would they give all 53 guys counseling?
Not all three. They knew Kareem Hunt had all these violent incidents this offseason. They didn't know the video. They didn't know exactly what happened, so but they knew he was involved in these violent incidents.
Yeah, so how did they not put him in counseling?
And again, I don't think they're doing with Tyreek Hill either. I think they're just liars, and, you know. If there was a video of Tyreek Hill, he'd be in trouble also. But, you know, leaving all that aside.
I mean, listen, you work in this world. You're a lawyer. Like, you know that or like major organizations, like major companies, just make stuff up. Like, it's like they could lie. Nobody's calling them on it. No beat writer is doing an investigation into domestic violence because they want their access to find out, you know, if the backup quarterback's achy back is going to keep him out of Sunday or not. Like, I hate access journalism more than anything on earth.
All right. And, well, speaking of all that, Baltimore at Kansas City.
Yeah.
Baltimore with a big win at Atlanta. Is Lamar Jackson keeping this job?
You underrate Baltimore. Baltimore's a playoff team.
I underrate them. I picked them as a 6 seed going into the season.
John Harbaugh?
And I still have him as a 6 seed.
Is who?
Oh, I was asking, is Lamar Jackson keeping the job?
Yeah.
So Joe Flacco's done.
Oh, yeah. The players are behind Lamar Jackson.
Joe Flacco's done in Baltimore.
Flacco's going to be a mess. Flacco's not going to handle this the way, you know, Jalen Hurts.
All right, so which team is Joe Flacco on next year?
That's a good question.
Can he mentor Sam Darnold into how to draw pass interferences?
I mean, what does Baltimore do? So now, I don't know how his cap works, but someone had a great idea for the Jets. Because the Jets have like 100-something million cap room.
It wasn't anyone in the Jets front office.
No, it was not. Why not pull an Osweiler with a Flacco type? It's a really good idea. Just take him on, trade for him. Who cares? Cut him afterwards. Take him on your roster. You take the cap hit and get a real asset for that. Buy, you know, a second round draft pick for taking Flacco. Because they don't have a second round pick. The Jets traded their second round pick as part of the Darnold trade.
You give away the pick in order to dump the contract.
Take an asset to take Flacco. That's what the Jets should do.
Yeah.
It's a good idea because you're picking a second round pick over, you know, spending $1 million, you know, $20 million.
Does Baltimore need to do that to get under his contract?
Yeah, Flacco has. I mean, some money Flacco has as a crazy deal.
Yeah, but it was crazy.
I think they're stuck for next year. I'm pretty sure. I'm not positive.
Yeah. By the way, you're right. He does. Yeah, he has a $26 million cap hit next year.
So next year's
the last year. Then you can cut him after.
Could you get a first round pick for a team that makes the playoffs for that? For taking that.
Yeah.
Like a first for a fourth swap or something.
Yeah.
The Jets traded their second round pick for Darnold. They got a third round pick for Bridgewater. So you think, okay, no big deal, second to third. Except the Jets' second round pick is going to be like 34. And the Saints, whose third round pick they have, is going to be 96. So that's really like a full two round difference.
Yeah.
So they have 2 third round picks. Congratulations. But they're not going to be picking from 4 until 67 or something.
Yeah. All right. Kansas City, you have winning at home against Baltimore?
Yeah, but I think Baltimore's going to keep it close.
All right. Philly at Dallas. This is a must-win game for the Philadelphia Eagles. If they lose this game, their season's over. The next week, they go at the Rams. They'd be 6-7. They'd almost certainly lose that. They'd be 6-8, and then they're done for sure.
So, do you agree that when the Cowboys are relevant and playing big games, especially at home, you know, with all the shots to Jerry Jones, they inevitably choke like a big game, but they're almost always exciting and close? Like,
no, why do you say they're exciting? You're the problem. You're the one who's putting them on national TV every week. The Cowboys are the most boring team. I hate them. I hate watching them. I hate everything about them.
Yes, the actual product on the field, on offense. No, on defense, they're an interesting defensive team, but I agree the product on offense is not especially interesting. They, you know, other than Zeke Elliott, like...
Yeah.
I just think that
I like Dak Prescott's star tattoos on his elbows.
Their games just matter a little bit more than a lot of the other games.
Yeah,
the Cowboys in a Week 14 like playoff style matchup matters more than the Carolina Panthers in a divisional playoff game. Yeah. They just do.
Yeah, nobody cares about the Panthers. All right, I want the Eagles to win this game. I want the NFC East to stay interesting, but I'm picking the Cowboys.
I'm going to pick the Eagles.
Okay. And is that because
I've been riding the Dak bandwagon for a while? I just like the way the Eagles are playing. I mean, now that they've moved Tate and also
the Eagles
like
are playing very badly. I mean, they beat Mark Sanchez yesterday. Congratulations.
All right, I think now that Tate has been acclimated to the offense, which he was in the last game. So now you have Tate, Jeffrey. Zach Ertz and...
You're bragging about Jeffrey? Okay, 3 catches for 31 yards. Boy, you have
well,
that.
He's not getting passes thrown. It's not like he's not getting open.
He was
like,
just traded in my fantasy league for a backup tight end, so that's...
You shouldn't brag that you could make trades still in your stupid fantasy league. That your fantasy league is trash if you can make trades in December.
Why? It's not a keeper league, so there's no risk of people, you know, like, throwing things.
Why is the team in 11th place trying to win a game? They should be out of the hunt.
Why? Because, first of all, we have weekly prizes. Second of all, we have personal pride on the line. This is a league with a 16-year grand history.
Every win counts.
The 11th place team should not be... There should not be trades in December.
Yeah. All right. All right. The number two game of the week, talking about teams that are not enjoyable to watch, the Minnesota Vikings. Ugh, shudder. Against the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle basically locked into that 5 seed now. For the Vikings, if they lose this game...
I don't think they're playing this week like they're locked into a seed with 4 weeks to go. I think that's a little silly.
But, I mean, okay, Seattle is 7-5, correct?
Yeah.
Here's their remaining schedule. After this week, they play San Francisco, so that's an automatic win, okay? We're going to make it 8-5. And then they play... who do they play in week... And then they play Arizona at home in week 17, so that's another automatic win. So they're 9-5. So they're 9-5 already... Their other two games are difficult, but even if they were to lose both and be 9-7, they have the tiebreaker over Carolina. If they beat the Vikings, they'll have the tiebreaker.
Well, if they lose this game, then the Vikings are in the fifth seed.
Yeah, well, if they lose this game, yes. So the Vikings, 3 games after this are pretty easy. They play Miami, Detroit, and then Chicago at home in week 17 in a game that might not even mean anything for Chicago. The Vikings, it goes without saying, have to win all those 3 games. But if they win this game in Seattle, then that Week 17 game will be for the division and will probably be the flex game in Week 17.
Right. If the Bears lose at home to the Rams, which I'm not sure they will, but if they do, and if the Vikings win in Seattle, it's a half game difference, then if you got, you know, it's an almost certainty that you will.
Yes.
I mean, maybe you guys will choke the Miami game, but, you know, you would
I mean, more likely
keep pace
choke
that.
The Detroit.
And then
Detroit.
That's the Sunday night game, our elusive Sunday night game.
Yes, in Week 17,
Chicago,
for sure.
Game.
But I think it's moot because I think the Vikings
could it be,
are
lose. Could
the Vikings
it, could
have
it
not
be a scenario?
You know, I hate to sound like these trolls I've been mocking all year, but the Vikings, name a good team the Vikings have beaten this year. And the answer is there is none. They beat Green Bay.
Right. Well, let me ask you a question.
Green Bay sucks.
Let's say it's not, let's say it's 9-6 Chicago versus 8-6-1 Minnesota. So it's still for the division, but they each lose a game, which is realistic.
Yeah.
They go 1-1 after this week.
Yeah.
Would the loser miss the playoffs in Chester Rings? Like, would it be for the division with no safety net? Because it's not so exciting if the winner's 4 and the loser's going to be 5 or 6.
Yeah, you say that, but they did do that a couple years ago with the Vikings and the Packers.
Only when they have no chance. I'm just saying, for me, that's not exciting. I'm not staying up late to watch that game if it's on at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, well, basically it would be a game to see who hosts them in playing each other the next week.
And it doesn't, you know, that's exciting for you, but that's not like keeping me.
So here's the question. So under that scenario, the Bears would have a tiebreaker over Seattle, right? Because they beat Seattle. The Bears and Carolina did not play each other, so it would come down to conference record. So I'm not exactly sure. So, you know, I don't know yet. There could be a scenario between the Bears and the Vikings where the winner makes the playoffs and wins the division and the loser goes home. There could be a scenario where the winner wins the division and the loser is still the wild card, and then it's, you know, less interesting, as you said. But, yeah, so we'll see. But but in order for that to happen, the Rams have to beat the Bears this week and the Vikings have to beat Seattle this week, and only one of those is going to happen. So I have Seattle winning.
Okay. At Seattle at home, it's just hard for me to pick against
them. I mean, it's every year in late October, early November, Russell Wilson just flips the switch.
I think this game comes down to a last-second field goal. Seattle wins. Minnesota misses a field goal.
Well, that's very bad news for the Vikings.
Yeah, Minnesota. Hopefully it's Seattle kicking it. Minnesota misses.
Yeah. So you have Seattle winning, I assume?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And game of the week. Here you go, Josh Kantor. Your stupid Chicago Bears, 8-4, hosting the best team in the NFL. I think the Rams are going to wipe the floor with.
I don't think so. I think the Bears will probably make it their life a little tough for the beginning of the game, maybe the first half. But yeah, the Rams are going
to
win.
You know, it is interesting to see what this Bears defense, what the pass rush can do against the Rams. Obviously, Jared Goff did not look that great against Detroit last week. They did enough to win because they were playing Detroit. I've been saying this all year. I think Chicago is, you know, I have them number 5 or number 6, whatever I have them in my power rankings. But I still think, I just don't think that they have the offensive firepower to run with a team like the Rams or the Saints. So maybe I'll be wrong. We'll see. But my pick is I'm picking the Rams. I'm picking them to cover.
How about the 3-game stretch of the night game? Sunday night is Rams-Bears. Monday night is Vikings-Seahawks. And then Thursday night is Chiefs-Chargers. A really amazing stretch. Rams-Eagles is a big game, although if the Eagles lose to Dallas, that game really is rough, I think. Because it might mean that the Eagles aren't great and then the Rams destroy them. And then Monday night, New Orleans-Carolina is a big game, too. So,
yeah, I mean, well, so next week, as you said, we start the Saturday games. The Saturday games aren't great. It's Houston at your Jets and Cleveland at Denver. So those aren't great next week. The Sunday night game next week I think is going to be meaningless. The Monday night game will be good because, again, Carolina's in a must-win situation. Is there any reason why they can't flex that Pittsburgh-New England game? I guess that's already CBS protected it as the national game.
Yes.
And by the way, there's only two late games next week, and one of them is meaningless Seattle-San Francisco. So Red Zone is going to suck next week.
All right, so I just got a late-breaking update. I'm not sure if you're going to let me talk about this. But your brother said, I just got a message from brother, does not know we're live, saying, can you talk about the great Chester drama going on right now on the podcast? You don't know about this?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. So here we go. This is from, can I talk about this? This is from Sammy Chester. Does your dad listen to the podcast?
No.
Okay, because I'm not sure how great he's going to come up. So your parents decided last month that when they left the country, they have a summer place here in Israel, that they told your brother and your other brother, you have two brothers, I didn't know that they're both here, one of your brothers is here for a postdoc, that they can't use their winter home.
Correct.
And they put a new alarm to ensure they can't enter the house?
Correct.
What, can you elaborate?
Sure. You don't know my youngest brother, but he's not a person to be trusted.
So they're not keeping Sammy, who listens, out. They are keeping your younger brother.
You know, there's not much. There's only certain things I can say on this podcast, so I can tell you.
Well, you could tell me the whole thing and then cut this whole thing out. That is bananas. Like, you realize your parents are insane. No offense.
They don't trust my youngest brother's behavior, and they're concerned that that my other brother would cover for my youngest brother. So,
okay, so he says,
I'm not defending it. I'm just explaining it.
Tete and Sammy want to spend Shabbos Chanukah in Yerushalayim, and he has to scroll through his friends. He might even ask one of the losers in our league to stay in their house.
So Sammy actually said, and if you know my youngest brother, you know why this is so hilarious. Sammy said to my dad, "What if Shai wants to have a spiritual weekend in Jerusalem?" And the reason that's funny is because if you were to rank all 6 billion people on earth in terms of spirituality, Shai would be dead last.
Yeah. Does he fast on Yom Kippur like he's nothing?
For sure he does not fast on Yom Kippur.
Okay. So it must be great to not be the least favorite of your parents' kids.
Yeah, he's a nihilist. You know, say what you will about the National Socialism, but, you know, at least it's an ethos.
He says your dad is obsessed with personal space and constantly afraid his stuff will be dirtied. Getting him to allow us to draft last year
was a
tremendous
struggle.
Another
part of it, which is Sammy, when he's been in the apartment unsupervised, has damaged things and broken things and sort of covered it up or not acknowledged it.
I'm guessing Fern's not going to let me stay there when Mary kicks
me. By the way, this is all reportedly. I don't know. So I'm just saying, you know, what my parents say. So Sammy may challenge the accuracy of that. I have no idea. But they say you know, he broke the car, or he broke the oven, or he broke this or that, or I don't know. So I don't know.
But Tete, who cares? They're your freaking kids.
Yeah, I would trust Tete. But
my parents are worried. Yeah, hook up with Shiksa.
But anyways, so Sammy says to my dad, well, why can't he have a spiritual whatever? As my dad pointed out, like, my parents are in that apartment. You called it a summer home or a winter home. They're there 6 months a year.
I was just explaining it to them.
Yeah. So half the year, my parents are happy to host either of their other sons in that apartment as long as they're there to supervise the goings on.
But it's still insane. I would like stop speaking to my parents over this.
Well, so my parents actually purchased this apartment right shortly before my year abroad in Israel, my freshman year of college.
Mm-hmm.
And they made similar threats to me, and I sort of had to find a way to finagle things. Like, for example, after the fall holiday extravaganza, when I had many friends over and various activities took place, they told me that I wasn't allowed to have people in the apartment afterwards.
And right. So I had a similar thing. My parents rented a place, and I had, I guys sleeping in the sukkah. I had, one room with eight guys.
I mean, I was waking up in the sukkah every morning next to people I had never met before, so I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, similar situation. Only friends from high school, right? I hadn't made, because it was...
No, it was friends from high school, from camp, from all over. I mean,
It was just the high school.
I had friends
guys
from different places,
point.
Yeah.
It wasn't like
But basically, my friends would like run into people at 2 in the morning who needed a place to stay, and they'd say, oh, just come sleep in the sukkah with
the
other people.
So. Yeah, we had that. Well, Andrew Parver, we made him sleep in the sukkah every night.
My friend Benny Casper was like really sick over the whole of Sukkot, so he wasn't allowed to go out at night. My mom would like basically babysit him by himself.
Uh-huh. He would play
with my sister, who at the time was like a 12 or 13 or whatever.
My sister, so, when they came, Sean Olive was 3 months old.
Yeah, okay.
They literally brought a 3 month old. My Sean Olive.
That's insane. So one night, another friend of ours, who I won't say his name on the podcast because he's now an upstanding citizen, he was so inebriated that he came home and he didn't make it to the sukkah where he was supposed to be sleeping. He like passed out in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And this guy is also like a champion wrestler and just like a really strong, like he's like a brick of a human. And Binny is a rather slight fellow. And so Binny was sleeping on a mattress in the floor in the bedroom closest to the bathroom. And the other guy at some point in the night came to, woke up, crawled his way to the bedroom, which was the nearest room, and crawled onto the bed and fell asleep on top of Binny. And Binny literally was trapped under him, sort of like that girl in Seinfeld who Kramer passes out under and on top of, and couldn't escape because this guy is so much bigger and stronger than he was.
Yeah.
So he had a large drunk Russian on top of him, which is pretty funny. But anyways, yeah, so my parents said after that whole extravaganza that I was no longer permitted to have friends in the apartment. And so the weekend that they left to go back to America, my friend Rafi and I went that next night back to the apartment. And I told Rafi, I said, you're not allowed in the apartment. So I made him sleep on the porch all night.
Rafi Rosman.
Yeah, I was taking my parents' instruction literally. Rafi Rosman, who visited me in Englewood this past week.
I also had, because I had two baby sisters, so my three-year-old called me E.E. because she couldn't say Akiva. So Rafi Rosman used to call me E.E. All right, are we done?
Yeah, I think we're done. Chester drove.
All right, Chester just told me a long story. He's going to have to edit it out. I don't know. I feel like when you're a parent of older kids, it's boys. They're just going to come, like, going to ruin your stuff, and you're just going to have to. I feel like we're coming full circle, and no one's going to know what we're talking about because we just had to cut something out.
Yeah, I'm going to have to edit out a lot of that.
But yeah, just let your kids do whatever you want. Don't isolate your kids.
All right, Akiva. So good luck to your Jets losing this week, moving up in the draft.
It's weird because, so let me say one thing. Like, if you've looked at the draft, which I'm sure you haven't, it's like the top like 13 guys are two QBs, one left tackle, and 10 defenders. And the Jets only need offense, but now there's this sort of school of thought that's emerged the last 2 months, like in the Chiefs-Rams era, which is that defense doesn't matter at all. Jets fans want the Jets to only draft defensive players. The idea is, like, who cares how good your defense is, and especially who cares how good your defense is when you can't pass the ball. You worry about a defense later, like what, you know, the Colts did with Andrew Luck. But now, what do you do in a draft if every single good player is a defender? Like,
you can trade down.
But there's going to be no value. It's not like someone else. It's like,
work, every year in December, the quarterbacks are, you know, two tiers lower. By the time you get to April, the top three picks are quarterbacks because people have convinced themselves. You know,
there are definitely years where QBs don't go at the top.
Like, I mean, Deshaun Carson Wentz and Jared Goff were nowhere near number one.
I agree, but
December.
then the year after that, what about Watson? The next year.
Yeah, but three other quarterbacks went ahead of him.
Like, Watson was the fourth quarterback picked?
Or what, wasn't he? I mean, Trubisky. Right.
Right. And Trubisky,
Mahomes went 10, Watson went 12. Trubisky went 2.
Right. So there's only one guy in the very top there. And I think there would be two, probably, this year. Herbert and I'm blanking on the other guy's name. But
Well, it's very early is my point.
But just the idea is, if it is, like the year the Jets pick Leonard Williams 6, like if it is just defenders at the top, like you can't get a lot of value for those picks. Everyone some years wants to trade down.
Yeah, right, let's talk about the NFL draft in April, not in December. All right.
All right, I'll see you next week.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Judah, our faith was banned. Even Antiochus said, no more Torah could be read. Judah, Mattathias' son, you would not throw our heritage away. Judah, on Israel high, these miracles our people will recall. Hanukkah lighting, presents are delighting me.
Hanukkah, 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 everyone.
I light the candles with people who love me.
He lights the candles with his whole family, sharing the joy of a proud history.
Sevivon, sov, 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 more souvganiyon.
More latkes, no, please more souvganiyon. Sevivon, more latkes, please more souvganiyon.
Sevivon,
more latkes, please more souvganiyon.
Sevivon,
more souvganiyon.
Sevivon,
more souvganiyon.
Sevivon,
lo, 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 lo.
Oh, Abba, Ima, Abba, Ima.
Abba, more souvganiyon. We fire food as we celebrate the
Scandalia.